Hi, this is Mark Hoke. As out-of-control inflation, gas prices, and grocery costs wreck your wallet, then check into automated day trading with Trading Made Easy. Trading Made Easy has spent 5 years helping people put cash in their pockets with their simple-to-use day trading software. So if you're ready to leave that 9-to-5 job behind, visit TradingMadEasy.com or call 800-971-4160 to sign up for a free live training seminar right now. That's TradingMadEasy.com.
The following program is paid for by Mark Hoke. 101.5 FM, 720 AM, KDON, the talk of Las Vegas.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
One full hour of wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's bring on the tag team of Andrew Fish Fame, Joe DeFalco, and your host, Mark Hoke.
Oh, wrestle. Vince McMahon, those big sweaty men. Among others. Will you let it go? You got that in for a whole hour. You know what?
That's all I've been eating, sleeping, breathing.
I am going to have a station do a promo day. We're going to have Andrew Fish Fane, my co-host here on the Mark Hoke Show, along with my other co-host, Joe DeFalco from Future Stars of Wrestling. We are going to pay to get that ring set up, get a referee, and we are going to go out in front of Unique Eats in the parking lot, and Vandergriff is going to tear every ligament in your body.
He's
going
to be too scared to show
up. He is going to jump, do some sort of crazy flippy move, little Hurricane Rana maybe,
and get caught
right
in the fish
off
hook.
The Unique Eats sign.
He'll be tapping.
You are going to flat fish on the concrete.
He'll tap faster than Donald O'Connor.
Joe, book it. We're gonna do this, right, Joe?
I'm ready.
All right, there you go.
We got two rings now, so.
Nice.
It's a war games against me. Oh, even better.
You're nuts. Nobody's teaming with you.
I don't need a team.
You're dead. Oh, my God. Anyway, this is the best in pro wrestling news and entertainment on occasion. KDWN, 101.5 FM, 720 AM, the talk of Las Vegas. And
Samoa Fish.
Angela kills Mike. Just, he's in two-minute penalty box. Yeah, that extra sleep did help, I think. It didn't help me, but apparently it helped you. Because for those that, since we're not live-streamed yet, and I'm going to say yet, whenever Fish comes in, he's as grumpy as the Grinch on Christmas night.
That's because now every day I'm getting closer to being able to beat him.
Yeah, okay. So how about we wrap this up on Crown Jewel, because, you know, with everything we were doing, we kind of got stuck in the middle there.
Without getting bogged down in the minutiae of it, my biggest issue was, again, if this is one of the biggest events, to have the only unscripted appearance be by Nikki Cross seemed to be a bit of a letdown.
Well, but to me, Crown Jewel, it's not one of the big four. And honest to God, and I don't want to denigrate the event, but it's like a glorified house show. It really is.
It is, but they make sure they always have the biggest. That's why, you know, Goldberg has always done it. They've always trumped it up to be this huge show. So the expectation level is raised.
Well, you always put together, like when you're doing house shows, you always see these matchups that are like, oh, I'd never see this match on TV. Oh, I didn't.
The only
in WWE's case, they're letting guys get ready to practice things. So when they get to the pay-per-view or the premium live events, they're ready.
To me, the only storyline that was even slightly moved forward was when they were doing a pre-match interview with Alexa Bliss, and on the screen next to her, the Dragonfly shows up and she pauses and loses where she is in the interview.
Yeah.
That was the only thing that I found interesting in that regard. The matches were all, like I said, I gave the pay-per-view a solid B. But that was the only thing they moved forward story-wise.
Yeah. So, well, let's talk about the other matches that were on the card. We had, speaking of Alexa Bliss, the Women's Tag Team Championship. The five-day reign of Bliss and Asuka.
What was the point of that?
See you later. As Damage Control, Dakota Kai, and Io Sky win it all.
But what was the point of giving them the belts for 5 days? That kind of yo-yo booking is horrible.
A ratings boost, I guess. I don't know.
Joe, do you ever book things like that, with the yo-yo booking like that?
Not that often, but once in a while, you know, you want to reward somebody. And you can't have everybody be the Usos and they beat everybody and then they get recycled through to beat them again. It's, you know, it's fine. They did a title change on TV. It gets a good pop. Title changes, I think I don't do enough title changes sometimes because no matter if it's the heel or the face or whatever, a title change is a big moment. And if you can do it, and now you're doing it for all these people in Saudi Arabia who, you know, got to see a title change.
I think the rumor has it
that they had to have one title change there. So that was the one that they were going to book.
Yeah, that's the only one that really makes sense. You didn't want to change any of the other ones at Crown Jewel, so that's probably why they did
it. No, and like I said, but there, to me, that would have been a perfect spot to bring out Sasha Banks and Naomi, because as you and I were discussing off the air, they were supposed to be at a signing next weekend, and they've been canceled now from that signing because they're supposed to be at SmackDown, apparently.
And maybe save them for War Games. Who knows? We'll find out. But we did have Nikki Cross.
I'm interested about War Games. Like, who's going to be the five against the Bloodline? I don't even know if they have anybody that actually makes sense.
Brawling Brutes? That would be a start.
Or you could go Imperium if Sheamus is still out.
You could team all those guys up. That would be interesting.
On five with the Bloodline, it's like you would want five of your top, I guess, baby faces. And, you know, is Drew McIntyre in there? Yeah, it's like, who's shooting with Roman Reigns?
Well,
right
see,
now?
Nobody's positioned.
The Brawling Brutes, Drew McIntyre, and Bray Wyatt. Which makes absolutely no sense to have those five.
Know about Bray, but you could see maybe Imperium teaming up with.
That is with not a main event for War Games.
Yeah, no.
That's very true.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see what they've got up their sleeves.
Maybe if it's like Hogan, Flair, The Rock, Steve Austin, and somebody, that'd be interesting.
We'll have to piece that together at some point here. But
they were definitely promoing War Games during the Crown Jewel event.
Yep, absolutely.
War Games, is it actually a Survivor Series?
Yeah. Is it? Yeah, they're doing two War Games matches.
It's got to be more than just those two War Games matches, though.
Yeah, they'll be more.
3 weeks?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that is mind-boggling.
Yeah, so that's what that
is. And one of them is going to be the Judgment Day, probably versus the OC with Edge and Beth Phoenix.
We'd have to
figure out who the other Judgment Day member is going to be.
I'm telling you, I'm telling you, the Pauls would have been in that match.
That wouldn't have been bad.
Maybe it is the Brawling Brutes and the Pauls versus the Bloodline.
Hmm, that's intriguing. Yeah,
well, Sheamus is out, so what's the appeal there? Ridge Holland and Butch in the main event of the
That's a good point.
I do remember Pete Dunne doing War Games down in NXT. He was pretty darn good in those matches.
I'm not saying it wouldn't be good. I'm just saying that.
Yeah, you got
it. It's not a main event draw. No, you're right, Joe.
Yeah. You know,
always like listen to the promoter.
Randy Orton, Matt Riddle, Seth Rollins, you know, you want your stars against your stars. The Brawling Brutes are just starting to get some love around them, and they're kind of over. But, you know, Rey Mysterio, you know, you want, like, five guys against five guys that are like, oh, okay, this is legit. Like, you would think Drew has to be in it.
Well, and I question, because it's Survivor Series, is it going to be, if it's the Bloodline, do you have the five faces from Raw facing the Bloodline, and then the Judgment Day, and then you have the five faces from SmackDown facing the Judgment Day?
There may be a good opportunity here if you get Kevin Owens into this match.
Yeah, with Sami Zayn.
And then Sammy, they turn.
Yeah.
I just booked it. Done.
And the way they've built up Owens, great. He hasn't been around for a month, so let's put him in the match.
And yet there was an extremely long video on the kickoff show for Kevin Owens.
Well, I had just read a story that Kevin was supposed to get a major push, but And they were going to do this thing, but Sami Zayn has been doing such a great job with this thing.
They have no place to put it.
That they're just they're like we gotta milk this for all it's worth.
And so. Sami Zayn, by the way, like I've been a huge fan of his wrestling ability. I've never been a huge fan of the character work that he's necessarily done until now. He is absolutely brilliant in this role.
He busted those boys up.
Yeah, when he said he's not feeling his inner Usy.
there were a you're not Usy chants going out in Saudi Arabia.
Yes, there
That's
were.
How over that thing is. Well, and I hate to go back to the match we were just talking about, but Nikki Cross did show up, and she was the one that cost the ladies the championship.
And I don't understand her motivation right now because she's been attacking both sides, but yesterday it was only Alexa Bliss.
Well, maybe she's still mad at Alexa for turning her back on her, and she remembers. She remembers.
Well, that's what Rob Fee is for, I guess.
I guess. So, but that was that women's tag match.
It was a solid match.
Yeah, it got a little clunky at the end. They were trying to do a little too much.
Yeah.
But overall, yeah, the ladies did a really nice job in that match. If they hadn't had overproduced it at the end, I think that would have been an A match.
And how much more difficult is it for them to wrestle in gear they're not used to wrestling in?
There's a question for Joe. Is Joe there? Do we have Joe?
Say that again?
I said, how difficult is it? Because the women in Saudi Arabia have to wrestle in gear that are not used to wrestling in. Does that make it much more difficult for them to wrestle?
Honestly, I'm not sure, but I don't think so. Because over the years, they've always wrestled. You know, they're always changing their gear. So, you know, it's not like in football where, hey, you got to, you know, go in and now you're wearing a knee brace or now you're doing something different. I think gear is gear, and I think they probably have it designed for comfort, and I think they should be okay with it. It's kind of like the guy who has to wear a mask. You know, sometimes all of a sudden the mask can't really see out of because you're not used to it or whatever it is. But I think they were okay with that.
Yeah, and for those that don't know what Fish is talking about, of course, in Saudi Arabia, the women have to stay covered up. So instead of the ladies wearing more revealing gear, or, you know, shorts or whatever, they're basically all in body suits. Now, when that got loosened up because when they first had women's matches in there, I was Lacey Evans and Natty. They were wearing T-shirts. They were wearing
over their body suits.
Over their suits. So
in some cases, thankfully so.
Oh, come on. Lacey Evans and Natty and you?
No, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about, you know, the fans in attendance.
Okay. Okay. There we go. I wasn't going to have Lacey.
We're not talking about Doudrop or nothing.
Wow. We did have a six-man match with the OC, AJ Styles, Carl Anderson, and Luke Gallows.
Again,
taking on the Judgment Day, Finn Balor, Damian Priest, and Dominic.
The match was a good match, but the ending was so predictable because the unpredictability that I expected to happen didn't happen. I expected Beth Phoenix to show up and even the odds because they mentioned weeks before that they had a Rhea Ripley problem and nothing was done to take care of the Rhea Ripley problem.
No, it was not.
And, of course, Rhea Ripley ended up being the problem again for the OC, and that's how the Judgment Day won.
This is clearly getting set up for War Games, I think. I think that there will be some people tagging along there. I would predict that Edge and Beth Phoenix will join the OC.
Judgment Day needs one more member.
And Judgment Day has to pick somebody else up. But that would be my prediction. And I think that'd be fun, too, because we'll get to see Beth and Rhea taking on the guys. And there could be some incredible moments. Because didn't Rhea slam Luke Gallows the other day?
Yes, she absolutely did.
And for those
that
aren't familiar with Luke Gallows, Luke Gallows is a very, very large man.
And he was larger in person. We saw him. Was it at the Booker T show that he came out?
Yeah. Yeah, he's huge. So Rhea and Beth could hang in that match without question. So that'll be a lot of fun. I'm kind of looking forward to that. But yeah, it didn't do much to advance everything, but that was a fun match. This is one I really want to hear your opinions on this one, guys, because we either said this was going to be a fun match or a train wreck, and it was Braun Strowman and Omos, and you know it wasn't. Unfortunately, it was kind of another abrupt ending. You know, we talked about people getting beat up for the whole match and then all of a sudden winning.
Right. Well, what I don't understand about it is that other people, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, have kicked out of the running power slam. You're going to tell me Omos, who they're trying to make this massive giant, takes one running power slam and that's it, and he can't kick out?
I agree. I do agree. I thought it was very abrupt. I don't know if there was a time constraint or something there that they cut this off. But, you know, honestly, Omos didn't look bad.
He looked better than he has done.
He has. They have definitely taken some time and worked with him. And one thing that I do like about him, he's a pretty good trash talker in the ring. It really does deflect away from the fact that he's very, very, very super green. But he can talk in there. You know, that's what I would, if I was in a fight with him, I would expect him to be trash talking me the whole time and telling me I'm going to maul you and all that kind of fun stuff. He was, you know, so that was.
And I haven't seen Braun Strowman manhandled quite like that before. So that was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I don't know. I might want to see that again. If they could up the level a little bit and not cut it off.
They have to give Braun more, though, than just a running power slam.
Yeah, it was so quick because Omos was dominating the match most of the way. Strowman hits a power slam, was over. So, Joe, I mean, what did you think of this one?
I actually sat and watched that one because I was kind of interested in it. And, yeah, they made, again, it was the third match, even though it was on earlier. But they specifically went out of their way to make Omos look like he was the monster in the match. And the build-up, it was like, it reminded me of like an old Hulk Hogan match when he's wrestling Earthquake and all these guys where he can't get him up, And then when he finally gets him up, that's it. And it was like that's what they were going for, the one big move from Braun Strowman. So in between that one big move was almost, you know, dominating the match. And, you know, you always look at it as, okay, you know, the Omos push is done. They're going to get rid of him, whatever they're going to do. But every time you see him in a high-profile match, they first off, MVP wasn't there, so I thought it would be much more difficult to make him hang, but they did. So obviously they like what they see from him, and he did look really good because he only had to do some big moves. And okay, he's 400 pounds, whatever. He's slamming Braun Strowman, and Michael Cole's selling it like, oh my God, he just slammed the guy who's 2,000 pounds. It's like,
yeah,
okay, he weighs 80 pounds more than Braun Strowman. It's a body slam. You know, it isn't like the biggest move in the world, but they were so behind him, and he definitely dominated the match. And it was, you know, it's that fluke pin. It was like, oh, Strowman catches him, hits him with his finish. So, you know, if they're going to have almost destroy him the whole match, you can't have him kick out of Braun Strowman's finish. That's his finish. That's what he was setting up for, the Battle of the Monsters. And he hits him with the power slam. So I don't think at all it was abruptly cut. I think there was no reason to cut it. That was the big move. That was his finish. Boom, 1, 2, 3, it's over. Like, he didn't, you know, if I was going to do it that way, I might have did 1, 2, 3. Oh, he kicked out to where, you know, being this big monster. Like, he kind of laid there afterwards like it was totally finished. And, yeah, it does look weird, but it's, you know, the same as watching John Cena hit the FU, and it's like, ugh, that's the finish.
No, I get that, but like I said, my issue with it is Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, among others, have kicked out from one running power slam. So if you're making Omos to be this monster, you can't have him just succumb to one running power slam and that's it.
I think where Joe hit it on the head was they should have done the kick out at 3.5. You know, that would have made it look a little bit better. But, you know, I'll be interested to see if they keep this going.
I think they have to.
I think you should. And you know what would be a really cool thing to do?
Braun Strowman, so what's he going to do?
Yeah. What would be really cool is if at the end they end up, oh, I respect you. You know what? You're all right. Hey, you know what?
They beat the Usos.
We could be the world tag team champions. That would be, even for a little while, for a match, it would be fun seeing the Usos.
Omos has been a tag team champion.
He has. He has. That is a good point.
And Strowman's been a tag team champion with a little kid, so.
Yeah, I'd rather see the little kid.
Nicholas. Where's Nicholas now?
Exactly.
Yeah. He's bulked up, Nicholas. He's up to like 114 pounds, I heard.
He's training at the FSW Arena.
Who do you think's training me to beat Vandergriff?
Nicholas. Oh, boy. And I think there's one more match that we didn't hit on here.
Last Women Standing match.
Oh, that's two. We have two. The tag team championship match, Usos and the Brawling Brutes. Another really good effort by all these guys.
Great match. Again, though, it's the same sort of ending. It's, you know, the Usos think it's going to be easy. All of a sudden, they realize how hard it's going to be. They try to walk out. Brawling Brutes throw them back in. And then something happens from behind. The best part about it to me was the fact that Jey Uso may have been wrestling this match with a broken wrist.
Yeah. Yeah, he's that. That's
for me was these guys are finally allowed to wrestle outside of the United States. They fly 100 hours to wrestle, and then they're going to walk out of the match before it starts.
That was pretty funny. They did try to do the walkout. One thing I'll throw out, too, is that Ridge Holland, you know, as much maligned as he is for doing the move that broke Big E's neck.
Was that for killing Big E?
No, he didn't kill him. But, you know, Ridge is getting better. He's seeming to find his place a little bit.
I just wish they'd call him Pete Dunne instead of Butch. I really do.
Yeah, well.
Because I think Pete Dunne has a chance to be a fantastic wrestler.
That he already is.
I mean, but given a run.
I know what you mean. But that was a pretty good tag match. And then we did have, you know, what I thought was probably
I thought it was the match of the night.
Bianca Belair and Bayley in the Last Woman Standing match. There was an occasional clunky spot in here, but overall, this was a war. Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to be nice, but overall, pretty good war between the two of them. I was a little surprised Bianca won this, but I did like the finish.
Yeah, I thought the trapping.
You remember when I complained about the ladder match where Bianca was not trapped?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bayley
this
was
time
trapped.
Bayley was trapped.
I did like the spot when she had Bianca in the stairs. And then Bianca kept disappearing.
Cool,
I could go, okay, what's going to happen? And she's going to come out from outside the ring. And that didn't happen. She just kept popping up in the stairs.
So we had two spots in there. The one he's talking about was the ring steps were pulled away from the ring. And Bayley had managed to trap Bianca behind the ring steps. So there's kind of a hole there. So Bianca was down in the hole. And then when Bianca came back up, Bayley just started wailing on her with a kendo stick.
Right.
And then she put a ladder over the top of the hole to trap her. But she could just play whack-a-mole with Bianca all day long.
That was
a good spot.
And I like the spot in the box as well.
No, I didn't, because she should have locked the box.
Or sat on top of the box.
Yeah. She had her trapped. So Bianca was stuck in an equipment box, and Bayley just kind of left her in the box.
And I didn't know what the thinking.
I like the box spot. I didn't like the other one, because if you're going to use a kendo stick, it was like, okay, we got to make sure we don't hurt her with this kendo stick. So we're going to be really careful. Well, that kind of took me out of it. It was like she was trying to like make sure she didn't hurt her with the kendo stick. And it's like, I'm not digging it.
Yeah. Then the final spot,
which was the best spot of the match,
which was they had a ladder in the ring. Bayley was laid out in the ladder. Bianca put the top of the ladder down on top of Bayley and then slid the ladder underneath the bottom rope so the ladder could not move up, and Bayley was sandwiched in there and couldn't get out, and that was how the match ended. She got counted out.
Yeah, I didn't see the ending. I ended up having to go to the kids' class, and I saw them the most part, and I wasn't that impressed with that part, so I didn't get to the end. But it's intriguing to me. It's like, Bayley put together this group, and now she's lost twice.
Yeah,
so
that's a problem.
I was going to say, is Bayley done now challenging for the women's championship?
She can't be.
I mean, for the time being, is there someone else now that has to step forward to challenge, or is it going to be another Bayley rematch? Because Becky's got to come back at some point. Charlotte's got to come back at some point.
Yeah, that's the one thing that bothers me about this is I probably would have booked Bayley to go over, but, you know.
I'm not interested in seeing the third match where the champion beat the challenger twice. Why would Bayley get another title shot? She's had two different opportunities and two different style of matches and lost. Why do we give her a third? That's when you take people out of things. It's like, you're either going to give her the belt then, or now you're done and it's time to move on to somebody else.
Yep. Well, we'll see what happens to Damage Control and Bayley as the time moves on. We are headed into our break. We'll get into the final half hour of the Mark Hoke Show coming up here in a little bit. Man, it's been a fun show. And we've still got a... I have windows open like crazy. So much stuff going on. We'll get to whatever we can. Of course, Andrew Fishfain, Joe DeFalco from Future Stars of Wrestling. And I'm Mark Hoke. Thanks for being with us. We will see you on the other side of the break here on the Mark Hoke Show on KDWN 101.5 FM, 720 AM, The Talk of Las Vegas.
When it comes to having the right attorney in your corner, you want to have a proven winner on your side. And Russell Dutch Boyd of VegasCounsel.com knows how to win in Las Vegas. Boyd graduated at 18 years old from law school and is also a three-time World Series of Poker bracelet winner. And no matter what legal challenges you're facing, Boyd will help you through it all. As a litigation attorney, he covers multiple areas of law, including personal injury, business law and startup, cyber law and crypto clients, and whatever else you might need to navigate the legal waters of Las Vegas and beyond. Just visit VegasCounsel.com to set up your free initial consultation today. That's VegasCounsel.com and let Dutch Boyd help you win today. Once again, that's Russell Boyd at VegasCounsel.com. Tired of the same boring food when you're out for breakfast or lunch? I'm Mark Hoke, and I have an idea for a different place to go with unique food you're sure to enjoy, and that's Unique Eats. Take some time out of your busy day and stop on in to Unique Eats, featuring celebrity chef Dominic Tedesco and his friendly staff. Whether it's a great start to your day with one of Unique Eats' amazing omelets, or lunch with his incredible sandwiches, pasta, and award-winning pizzas, you'll be in for a fantastic dining experience that won't break the bank. Unique Eats also features a smoothie bar and full vegetarian menu as well. Plus, if you need catering, you can count on Unique Eats no matter what the occasion. So what are you waiting for? Get on over to Unique Eats at 3100 South Durango, Suite 100, open daily until 3 p.m. Call them at 702-992-3038 or visit UniqueEatsLV.com for their full menu and catering info. Break out of the same old routine and have a great meal at Unique Eats today.
101.5 FM, 720 AM, KDON, the talk of Las Vegas. Now, let's return to the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Here again, your host, Mark Hoke.
Fish is trying to upend the show.
I'm not trying to upend the show. I'm trying to make it better and more realistic.
It is better and realistic. Go away.
No, if you in the opening you say defeater of Vandergriff, Andrew Fishfane.
Go, no. God, DeFalco, he's going to get killed. You know, by the way, when I was at Joe's last card, the Mecca event, I spoke to Mr. Vandergriff about that.
And he's running scared, isn't he?
He rolled his eyes.
He's running scared.
And like, what are you talking about?
He's acting like he doesn't know who I am. He knows who I am.
He doesn't know who you are. Joe, you are getting
mad because he got the wrong order when they were at the Cheesecake Factory.
So yeah,
see, I'm no longer at the Cheesecake Factory. So,
oh no, what happened?
I left there a few months ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, see,
where are you working? Unique Eats?
No,
I tried.
Can I say the name of the restaurant I currently work for?
I'll let you do it.
I work at the Yard House currently over at the Red Rock.
Oh. Red Rock, that's a fancy joint.
Yeah,
it is.
That's because, they're paying me to beat Vandergriff.
Get a sponsor.
There you go, put in the word. We'd love to do a show at Red Rock.
Right.
You know, make yourself useful, will you?
Yeah.
You get me a match with Vandergriff, I'll get it at Red Rock.
Okay. Red Rock, I'll get you a match with Vandergriff.
The fish being descaled, brought to you by the Yard House. Oh, my God.
Heard they're changing their name to the Fish House. Is that true?
No. Oh. Joe, now you're getting in on it.
Oh, yeah.
If you do this, you're both gone.
He'll be tapping.
You're both gone.
And then Eva Marie's going to come out, and Dominic's going to make a heel turn.
Stop. Oh. I have to interrupt this because we do have a little bit of business to take care of before we talk more wrestling.
No, you know you got to talk AEW, so.
Yeah, we got to get this in because one of your friends is... Getting some press. We'll talk about it. There's your teaser, but I do have to mention two things.
Brian Cage.
That's That may be one of them. Don't ruin the teaser. VegasCouncil.com, our good friend Dutch Boyd over there at VegasCouncil.com, one of the best attorneys and a great friend of mine, graduated from law school. He was 18 years old from Missouri. If you need any help legally, he is your guy to call. I'm telling you right now, he specializes in things like business law, intellectual property, personal injury, crypto law, which is interesting. That's a field that not many lawyers are specializing in. But I'm telling you, he will help you out in any area. And if he can't help you, he will send you to the right place. Actually, Dutch helped me out a couple weeks ago with some stuff that I needed to discuss with him. He's a great guy and a three-time World Series of Poker.
I actually need to call him.
Okay. Well,
because I'm getting nowhere with the FedEx van that hit my parked car.
Oh, well, you know what? All I have to do is go to VegasCouncil.com. Free consultation. Free consultation.
And I'm Jewish. That means a lot.
Yeah, I know. VegasCouncil.com. So make sure you head on over there and give Dutch a call. He's a great guy, and he will help you, I promise. Also, by the way, some betting lines are up, and we have at full gear a couple odds up already. Jamie Hayter and Tony Storm, the odds are up on that.
And MJF
and John Moxley. Jamie Hayter is listed as a favorite on betonline.ag. So if you want to hop on Tony Storm and get a plus 140 right now, all you got to do is go to markhokeshow.com. Go through our website first because then we get credit for it. Go to markhokeshow.com. Huge banners. You'll see Drew McIntyre and Orange Cassidy and Sasha Banks on the banner. You put in the code that's on there, and you get a 50% matching bonus up to $1,000. That's awesome. So you can bet on some wrestling, make a little money. Plus, of course, they've got everything on there. The games today, if you want to place some bets on football, they do boxing. I mean, I'm just looking at this right now. Boxing, cricket, darts, entertainment, financials, handball.
Can you bet the elections?
Yes, you can. So if you want to make some money, do it through us, man. BetOnline.ag.
The odds are none of the above.
There are none of the above candidates on the Nevada ballot. Believe it or not, if you don't know, that is a possibility. You can vote for none of the above in some offices.
Why can't everybody just do that?
Brewster's Millions, baby. That's what we're going to go back to. Brewster's Millions, none of the above. So we have a little extra stuff going on with this whole CM Punk thing that I wanted to talk about.
Mr. Brooks.
Phil Brooks. It appears that the Elite, Kenny Omega, and the Young Bucks are going to be back very shortly. A lot of the rumor is that they will be back for wrestling for their Trios Championship again against Death Triangle. But this was interesting. Matt Hardy kind of put his foot in his mouth a little bit, maybe. So he essentially came out and said that they didn't do anything wrong. The Elite did nothing wrong in this whole thing. But he implied that he was there when it happened, which was kind of goofy. But then he backtracked and said, no, I wasn't there. But trust me, they're my friends. And when everybody told me, Young Bucks didn't do anything wrong. So, you know, that was kind of a weird little twist. And then we had Tony Khan was on Busted Open Radio. And he mentioned CM Punk when he was running off Ring of Honor champions. And apparently that was planned. He was not going to omit CM Punk. I just wonder, guys. I just wonder if Punk is really done with AEW.
When an announcer mentions a former wrestler or wrestler's not there, does that generally mean that wrestler? And I ask that because, and I hate to bring it back to WWE, because Michael Cole had mentioned Sasha Banks several times during the broadcast yesterday as well. Mm-hmm. And he's done it prior as well. So does that sort of, because for a while, when the person's suspended, you like make no mention of him, you take him out of the beginning.
Right.
Take him out of the open, because that's what they did with the Young Bucks and the Elite. They took him out, and Kenny Omega, they took him out of the opening of AEW. So when that no longer happens, does that mean that they are no longer persona non grata?
That's usually been the case.
So then if that's the case, so, you may be right.
So I'm curious about this because, you know, I've said this before on the show, the best thing for AEW is to find a way to work this out. And you get feuds aplenty that will have a lot of interest. And, you know, I remember one of those shows that's on Vice, they had a sign in the locker room that said, you know, basically said reality, you know, sells tickets. So, I mean, Joe, have you heard anything? I mean, do you think that Punk is out, or what's up?
You know, I think first off, anything that Tony Khan says and does is taken with a grain of salt. You know, I know many people in AEW, and a lot of them feel this guy is kind of out of his mind. But being that what is said, yeah, I guess in the perfect world, you don't want to lose CM Punk, because regardless of everything that happens, he's still got a bunch of fans. He's still going to sell a bunch of merch. There's people who still want to watch his matches. I find it intriguing that all of a sudden Chris Jericho has, it's leaked that he said this, that, and the other thing about CM Punk. You know, so nobody heard about any of this stuff that he supposedly had said about Punk being a cancer and this, and he, not only did he say it after the fact, he also said it months ago, but nothing ever really leaked out about Punk months ago. So, you know, hey, everybody, this is what we're going to do. And it's perfect. A guy like Moxley, a person like Jericho, nobody cares what Dante Martin has to say. But when Chris Jericho says it, people are now paying attention. Now, Chris Jericho had this to say about CM Punk. Oh, okay, well, Chris Jericho is now the Ring of Honor champion. If they get a TV show in the first match that the main event announced Chris Jericho versus CM Punk, who's not going to care about seeing it, regardless of what CM Punk got into a fight with the Young Bucks? You know,
that's an excellent point.
And the context of what Tony Khan mentioned it was, they were talking about Ring of Honor and listing off past Ring of Honor champions.
Did he say Tyler Black?
I'd have to find the quote here real quick.
That would have been Seth Rollins before he was Seth Rollins.
That's not the tab. I'm stalling here. I'm trying to find it.
Well, Sid Vicious was stabbing Arn Anderson, and he may have gotten fired, but he got hired back, and he still had Arn Anderson in the company. So, you know, I think that was far more vicious than accidentally hitting the dog with the door that people are now saying that never really happened anyway. So.
I'm just trying to find out if he mentioned guys who were...
Names listed were AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, CM Punk, Claudio Castagnoli, Cody Rhodes, Kevin Owens, and many others.
So then I don't read as much into it because he said Cody Rhodes, and he said it especially because he said Cody Rhodes, because Cody Rhodes left AEW. AJ Styles, who has never been in AEW, so maybe, but because he mentioned Cody Rhodes, that lets me put less stock into it.
Yeah.
Well, had he not mentioned Cody Rhodes.
Oh, I'm reading into it. Why didn't he mention Jay Lethal? He's in the company. It's a shot at Jay Lethal.
That's true, too.
Well, speaking of shots and Jay Lethal, if you didn't see, there's a new employee running around at AEW, and that is JEFFJARRET.
I didn't realize that. Is it AEW?
Jeff Jarrett is now in AEW, not only on screen, but off.
So he's no longer in charge of premium live events?
No, that was done a couple months ago.
That's long gone. Road Dogg's in charge of that now.
Yeah. Jarrett.
How ironic.
Jarrett hit Darby Allin with a guitar. And he is teaming up with Jay Lethal, Sonjay Dutt, and that little gang. But he is now let me find my
title. Do we really need to see Jeff Jarrett wrestle again?
It's
no,
the Global Forces reuniting with Jeff Jarrett and Sonjay Dutt.
Yeah. Well, he is now the Director of Business Development at AEW, which is essentially the same role that he had with WWE. Because they are talking about getting out and doing more live events with AEW. So
Jeff Jarrett, earned the spot by looking good in the Ric Flair, the only guy to look good in the Ric Flair match.
But wasn't that part of the reason people liked going to AEW rather than WWE? Because there was less house shows, so there was less wear and tear. And if they're now going to be doing more of that.
Well, apparently, and let me, I have that article here too, but just real quick, guys, while I pull it up, the reaction to Jeff Jarrett now being in AEW, it's interesting.
I'm not a huge Jeff Jarrett fan. I never have been. I don't see what the appeal of Jeff Jarrett is. So, to me, it doesn't move the needle at all.
But I'm
the
more...
Angle, when the angle happens and the other team brings back the honky tonk man, and they have a battle of dueling guitars.
Well, how is that match not
you're
going to
be like, oh, I see why they're doing this. This is great stuff.
You can have Elias go over there now and do it, I guess.
No, I want that match.
No, Ezekiel. They should hire Ezekiel. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Have Elias in WWE and Ezekiel in AEW.
Wow. You are
the forbidden door would really be open then.
Oh my God. You know, but one thing but I'm more curious about Jarrett on the business side of things, because while Jarrett has a lot of great experience and apparently WWE was generally happy with what he was doing with the live events, he's also had some failures in the past too. So I'm curious about the hire, if this is actually a good hire for AEW. I mean, given his experience, yeah. I mean,
yeah. I mean, he launched, for all intents and purposes, TNA Impact,
and did a great job getting the India deal and all that kind of stuff.
So. No, absolutely. But at the same time, again, he doesn't move the needle at all for me. He doesn't make me go, okay, now I got to watch AEW because Jeff Jarrett's there.
Who have they signed that you weren't going to watch it? And you know, as much as you like a Jay Lethal, a Brian Cage, a Brian Danielson. It's just bringing in people that you think you're going to help. And if Tony Khan feels that bringing in 611 new wrestlers to the product is going to make people watch.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
It's like
Brian Danielson actually has got me to watch AEW more. Jon Moxley's got me to watch AEW more. Even CM Punk, you know, like him or hate him, has got me to watch it. Jeff Jarrett doesn't do it. I'm like, so it's Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, but you're still going to watch it.
Yeah. So, but as for your question on the house shows, what Cultaholic was reporting on this is that the benefit of working house shows is it gives talent the opportunity to work on things in front of a receptive crowd without the pressures of performing live on TV, and gives valuable reps to talents who may not be used on AEW's TV product. Of course, and it continues, however, the caveat is that in order to make house shows worthwhile, you need some of your bigger stars to be able to wrestle, and they are reluctant to risk some of their talents on something like that. So, you know, I think
wrestlers are being paid not to wrestle are going to be very upset if they have to do house shows. Now they're going to actually have to be paid to wrestle.
I think AEW should be doing more house shows. I think good revenue stream, and there are a lot of people that need that time. And I because one thing that I see on AEW is you just see that you have a ton of talent. But you can tell that they haven't been able to really get the time in to make these matches as clean as they should be. Like, even Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter had some issues this last week on TV that they shouldn't have had. But if they had time on some house shows, that wouldn't be taking place.
I completely agree. But like I said, my issue was part of the reason that people loved going over to AEW, besides the creative freedom, was that they didn't have to work as much and they could be home more during the week and then just there for the TV tapings, and that was it. Well, if they're adding the house shows, that takes away some of the allure that some of the wrestlers said they had of going over to AEW.
They have such a large roster, though, too. They wouldn't need to send everybody out every week. You know,
what are they going to do? They're not going to all of a sudden be filled up and run 20 shows a month. What are they going to do? Run, you know, twice a week, you know, three times a week. It you know, Impact is the same way. They have a taping, the 2 days of tapings. They're going to be in Vegas in February. They're going to do a pay-per-view on the Friday, and then they'll follow it up with two tapings, and then they're done. And, you know, it's no different with AEW now. They'll do the Rampage, and sometimes with Dynamite, they'll tape Rampage and all the other crap for the YouTube show. And those guys are getting work, so I'm not sure how different it becomes by doing a house show. You know, it's just another way. Guys are getting signed, and then they're being paid X amount of dollars a year, and half the time they're not wrestling. So adding a few shows that might make them some money
isn't
a bad thing.
No, and Mark, you're right, because the problem becomes, if I'm going to a house show, I don't want to only see Andrade and Miro. I want to see Jon Moxley. I want to see Chris Jericho. And it's how much are those guys going to want to wrestle the house shows?
Well, and one thing, too, I mean, I remember the days when WWE was doing house shows when I was younger, and you rarely see Hogan come out to do one. I mean, he'd be in Hershey maybe once a year, which would be great, but they still sold the shows out because they, You know, you'd have Piper.
Yeah, but those were the shows that they would do. Like, when you'd go to Madison Square Garden for a house show, the main event was usually Hulk Hogan against somebody.
Well, but at the bigger venues. I mean, Hershey Park Arena was about 6,000 or 7,000.
The tapings back then were where you would never see Hogan. If you were lucky, you would cut a promo.
Yeah, right. That is very true. So, yeah, we'll see what they do. I think it'd be fun. And of course, this is the Mark Hoke Show on KDWN 101.5 FM, 720 AM, The Talk of Las Vegas. The multiverse's number one wrestling show. No matter which multiverse you go to,
we're there.
We're there.
And in every single one of them, I beat Vandergriff.
So what you're saying is we're now being downloaded on Earth 6?
Yes, Earth 22. Oh.
And
Earth 616.
Rick Sanchez, C-137, is doing it, too. If you're a Rick and Morty fan, you'll get that joke.
Yeah, so, okay.
No, sorry. Yeah. No idea what you're talking about.
Oh, but we also have, I wanted to get your thoughts on the Eliminator tournament that they're doing in AEW, too, because Brian Cage is in this tournament as well, and Cage, of course, you know, does a lot of work with Joe DeFalco.
And the winner of this tournament gets a title shot, is that correct?
At winner is coming. The tournament final is at Full Gear, and as soon as I find the bracket, but real quick, Brian.
So it's a third person that gets a title shot now.
Sir Cage against Dante Martin in the first round. I didn't pay attention to the others.
Yeah. Eddie Kingston's on the other side of the bracket, and I do apologize. I've got it here. I swear to God.
No, but this becomes a third event in a row that they've done. The winner gets a title shot, right? Because they did the one where MJF won the title shot.
Yeah, well, they did this.
The one when Adam Page won the title shot.
Yeah, they've done this a couple years in a row, though.
So they can have a four-way with everybody who won the title.
Right, but how many title shots do you get? Title shots become cheap if you keep giving them out for winning a little tournament.
Well, they're keeping Moxley active.
Well, they have a win-loss record. That's very important in their structure, so it really shouldn't even be used.
So here's your bracket real quick. It's Eddie Kingston, Ethan Page, Bandito and Rush, Lance Archer and Ricky Starks, Brian Cage and Dante Martin. Want to pick a winner on that real quick?
Yeah, I guarantee my guys are definitely going to lose in the first round, Cage and Archer.
Eddie Kingston's going to win it all.
That would be my prediction.
It's kind of obvious when those are the names that Eddie Kingston's going to be the guy they're going to give the title shot to.
I think Cage gets past Dante, at least.
I don't. I'm told Dante Martin is a big favorite of Tony Khan's.
All right. Because I like Ricky Starks. Well, the reason I say that is I like Ricky Starks coming out of the other side of the bracket. So you really wouldn't. I don't think you'd do Starks Martin. I think you'd do Starks Cage. So
yeah, they did that before and buried Cage. So guess they got a chance to do it again.
That is true. But I will say Brian Cage has been getting on TV a lot. He's had a title match with Samoa Joe for the Ring of Honor TV title. He got to wrestle Warlow for the TNT title.
No, and so I appreciate that.
Cage is getting back on TV, which is nice, I think.
It is, but I just don't like the fact that they're going to continue to have tournaments because it becomes cheap. How important is it? Because if MJF didn't win that ladder match, he still had two other chances to win a title opportunity.
Well, and so you know, Fish, this tournament, the winner's determined to Full Gear, and then that winner is coming card that they do every year.
Yeah.
That's when they get the title shot.
No, I get it, but at the same time, you can't just keep giving away title shots for winning a little tournament, because then the tournament doesn't become that important if it happens all the time.
Well, they look at it the opposite way. Hey, people are going to pay attention to a tournament, because if they put those four matches on, in reality, who really cares? It's just four regular matches. But now it's a tournament, and the winner is going to get this. And that's the reason they do it. Now, whether we buy into it, you know, the AEW marks are going to always buy into it, because no matter what AEW does, it's the greatest thing ever.
Right, but if I was to put together that kind of tournament, I would, if you do it with names of guys who maybe deserve title shots, so anybody who's not the champ, so it can't be Moxley, obviously, but then you have Jericho and Danielson, guys who deserve a shot at the title are all in the tournament, then I'm going, okay, this is an exciting tournament now.
This is wrestling, though. Why are you thinking with common sense?
Yes, exactly, Fish. You should know that rule. Shame on you.
You're not going to have Danielson lose in the first round and Jericho. You put in those jobber bodies to act like it's something important. And, you know, why would you want to have the top eight contenders in a match to
crown a number one contender.
Like, because then I'd have some intrigue.
Yeah, but that would make sense. We can't do that.
Yeah, where's SD Special Delivery Jones when you need him?
Go beware somewhere.
Yeah, go look at some of the old King of the Ring tournaments.
I know. That's why I mentioned SD Jones.
There's some names that probably should
King Kong
have been
Bundy
in there,
versus SD Jones was actually a WrestleMania match, I believe.
Yeah, but there's you get Bandito Rush. I think it's going to be a fun match. I think Eddie Kingston.
That's going to be a great match.
But other than Eddie Kingston and maybe Brian Cage, who of that group could beat Jon Moxley?
Bandito, Rush.
You believe that those guys could legitimately beat Moxley for the championship?
Yeah, but I can't believe Brian Cage the way that he's been presented in AEW. It's like, hey, we're going to give him a couple of quick wins, some squash wins. Hey, let's already throw him in with Samoa Joe. And again, of course it's going to be a really good match, but it doesn't have the intrigue that it would if you actually push Brian Cage as a top guy like he should be.
Right.
And you go into that, and it's going to be like, okay, it's a cool match, good way to waste 12 minutes, and Brian Cage is going to do all this super cool stuff, and people are going to be like, oh, that was a really good match, but nobody in their right mind believes Brian Cage could win that match, not even Brian Cage's wife.
She's a very nice lady, by the way.
Mrs. Cage.
Yeah, but the booking in AEW since all the injury bug hit has just been a mess, and now, hopefully they're going to get this cleaned up, but yeah, I agree with that.
When was the last time Ethan Page has been around?
Yeah.
Yeesh. I'm just, yeesh.
Yeah.
It's a schmoz.
I wasn't a fan of him in Impact either, so.
Yeah, I think he's all right.
I get what you guys are saying. It's just, to me, when I watch a wrestling card, a lot of times I'd rather want to try to figure out, okay, how are they going to have this person win? And why are they going to win?
Yeah. All right. Well, we got to wrap it up, guys. Hey,
your mind, Vandergriff.
What a great show. If you want to, we would certainly appreciate it. Give us a like on Facebook at The Mark Hoke Show. Follow us on Twitter at Mark Hoke Show.
The fish hook's coming.
The website is markhokeshow.com where you can check out all our sponsors, everything we have going on. That would be terrific. And download those podcasts, markhokeshow.podbean.com. And we're on a bunch of your favorite outlets. And I just got us on Tumblr. I'm posting the shows on LinkedIn as well now, starting this week. So, no excuse. Give us a look. We'd appreciate it. On behalf of Andrew Fish Fane and Joe DeFalco, I'm Mark Hoke. Thanks for being with us on KDWN 101.5 FM, 7:20 a.m., the talk of Las Vegas. Have a great Sunday, Las Vegas.
Want more of The Mark Hoke Show? Follow us on Twitter at Mark Hoke Show, like us on Facebook at The Mark Hoke Show, and visit MarkHokeShow.com to keep up with everything happening with the show. And remember to check out all of our archive shows on YouTube at The Mark Hoke Show and download our podcasts at MarkHokeShow.podbean.com and all your favorite podcast outlets. So join The Mark Hoke Show family today, and thanks for listening.